Hey, it's me, Dee Dee, chilling with G Lou every Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. My favorite show. Make sure you catch me and the wonderful Queen Jean every Saturday on YouTube Live with Conversations in the Hookah Lounge. Catch me on Instagram at Dee_Hairston, where you'll catch all my wonderful posts. Have fun, enjoy your day, and chill always with G Lou Productions.
Welcome to the G Lou Show Flashback Fridays. We got my homeboy Greedy Greg coming up next. Top of it. Let's go.
Oh, shit. Damn. Buzzed again. What can I say? That shade, man. That motherfucker, boy. Getting the motherfucker on chill. For real. I ain't bullshit, man. The bomb, boy. When I get to a party, to get it started, I grab a microphone and rock it cold hearted. Go behind the curtains while my fans just point. You know what I'm doing, I'm blazing the joint, cause it seems a lot of time. I'm at my best after Semantica or a bowl of set. I'm creating, multiplying, big time, supplying enough bud to keep the whole party high on. I might get ill, roll 8-1 hooter, park my Benz, a cold jet out on my scooter. Fail to the coast, take a hell of a scope, twist up a big bomber of the serious dope. Smoking down to the nub, use my rope clip. So much damn resin, it's starting to drip. It ain't harmful like heroin, it's also cheaper. That's why I'm glad, huh, boy, that I don't you hate when you ain't got no weed? It's even by the time you really you need to get high, get full, you know, get blasted. You be saying that high, it really lasted. Rolling around, trying not to get popped by the boys, the pigs, the rollers, the cops. Working up to one spot to see what they all about. Suckers nodding their head, telling you they all out. You go back to the crib, pick up the telephone. It dried everybody, so I guess you're gonna tone. Cause I can buy an OC or go buy a dime. I can pay gas for it or I can get it on time. It really makes no difference long as I get lit. Roll it in my zigzag and take a big bone hit. Cause after the bud, my rhymes start flowing. Never getting shorter, They always going. I'm maxing, relaxing, but never taxing. No need to do, to keep on asking if it is it. If the shit is the shit, cause when it comes to smoky gym, you know my shit is legit. You're the student, and I'm the teacher. I'm not a minister or reverend, I'm not preaching, so excuse me while I call time, cause I'ma take a few hits in the middle of his rhyme. One day I was pulling with my homeboy Seal, chill, getting fucked up in his coupe de ville. Still, I wasn't too high to know what I was doing. Went to the store, cop some more brewing, came back to the car, tried to be a winner. Rolled up on my roaches, barely made a penny. I wasn't upset, I had more at the house, but I was saving it for later when I get with my spouse. Now we went together, blazing the cheaper. He does things to me, he said he can't believe her. I'm not talking dicky or nothing obscene, but it's not too far off, if you know what I mean. She'll take me upstairs, lay me down in the bed, pull off the feeling source and start giving me his head. If I'm the bull, yo, I do the same. She must love it, she ain't never complained. No moaning, kicking, a lot of screaming. I'm working so hard and she starts steaming. You know how it is, after a couple of wooers, she's my subject and I am the ruler. She's my freak, y'all, but she's no skeezer. And one thing for sure, the girl's always got it in the hand. What you wanna do with your life, man?
Diva, 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 Diva
I was writing this rhyme. I had the hydroponic, but the high was fine. I had two joints, one for me and my homie. After half a stoke, he didn't even know me. His eyes were so tight, they was hell of a red. He could barely hold them up, they was heavy as lead. An hour went by, he said, "Lo, I'm kinda hungry." I said, "Oh shit, this brother got the munchies." Got off my couch, put my Gucci's on my feet. Went to 7-Eleven, it was right on the street. I ordered everything edible off the shelf. He thought it was sand, I ate it all myself. Then we got it to the car, headed north and south. Just needed a drink, I had cotton mouth. We had so much food, didn't know where to start. At the Haagen-Dazs, a Kellogg Pop-Tart. Big bag of chips, gallons of dip. Give me a wink, to get this taste off my lips. I ate so much, miserable as how I felt. Almost busted out my pants and loosened my belt. Kicking after two, watching none better than, you know, the king of late night. Yeah, Dave Letterman, not too hilarious. Joe's kind of plain, but everything is funny when you're smoking. Mary Jane, yeah.
What it do, what it do? This is OG Scott Gorton, the music pro. And this Friday, I'm going to be on the G. Lou Show. That's right, the G. Lou Show on Blog Talk Radio. 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We're going to talk everything about what I did in the past, all the music business that's going on now, digital distribution. We're going to let everybody know what's going on out there. So call on in at 914-803-4001. Don't forget to hit that one button to get on live. That's right, the G. Lou Show.
Where they doing it at? Hey, welcome to the G. Lou Show. I'm so sorry for the technical difficulties we've been having. Started off a little bit late. I'm going through some issues with Skype. I use Skype, you know, for some things on there with my microphone, and they're out of service, so some things are going on, so my apologies. We're starting up late. My apologies if my mic doesn't sound as normal as it does. We have some technical difficulties, but we're not going to let that stop what we have going on tonight. Because tonight we have a legend in the building, a West Coast pioneer. I don't just like to use the word manager. He was a manager of such, but he's just done so much for hip-hop on the West Coast, opened so many doors, introduced you to so many legendary figures and people and stamps and people that he helped create, launch their careers, and just had a whole part of their life from the West Coast, from the Quicks to the Tone Loc. That's why I just played Tone Loc, just to give you an introduction of what he's done and who he started with. And he did start off with Tone Loc. That song right there is what set everything off. So I wanted to play that to give you a proper introduction of who our legendary guest is tonight. And he is here. But before I bring him in, let me bring in my lovely, beautiful co-host, my ride or die, the legendary Miss Queen Jean. Good evening, Queen.
Hey, G. Lou, good evening. I love that introduction on everything.
That's right. You know how we got to do it. You got to bring it in correctly, and you are a legend within yourself, so I had to let it be known. So welcome, Queen. Good evening.
Good evening. How you doing? I'm excited, too, about Greedy Greg coming to the show. You know, to have this conversation with us and tell the people what they don't know.
That part.
Right.
And Queen, he is here. And like I said, I started off a couple minutes late. My apologies. But we do have Greedy Greg. He is here. So why don't you go ahead and give him a proper introduction, Queen, because he is here.
Okay. Let's welcome Greedy Greg to the show from straight out of South Central L.A., by the way, at Compton, and let's also wish him a happy belated birthday. Welcome to the show, sir.
Yay.
How you doing?
Thank you. Thank you, Queen. Hello?
What up, Greg?
Did you hear that applause?
Hey, what's happening? Thank you for the introduction, man.
Give him a standing ovation. He deserves it. Standing ovation.
What's going on with this?
All right, man. Glad to have you here, sir. Just first and foremost, before we get started, I want to thank you for taking out the time to just grace our platform, sir. It is definitely an honor to have you on here and get the history and all of that, because a lot of people, like I said, they know the name and they hear it a lot, but they don't know the man behind that name they're hearing, or they may have heard it, or you've done a few interviews, but not many. So it's definitely an honor to have you here tonight, sir. Just want to say that first and foremost.
Thank you, man. I kind of played the back role a lot over the years, really, you know, let my music speak for itself.
Right. That's right. Well, I told them who you are. This is Greedy Greg. Like I said, you know, my real ones know, my real, you know, people, hip-hoppers, especially if you're from the West Coast, L.A. area, you definitely know or heard that name. And I've told you a brief introduction, but we have the man here. So, Greg, why don't you just tell the people who you are from your own words and some things, as far as just the intro, we'll get into everything, but just a quick introduction, background, or whatever you want the people to know before we get started, sir.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I started out as a DJ in L.A., did a lot of clubs, and then I got into the rap game with Tone Loke, then DJ Quick, Second to None, AMG, Domino, Muck and Steph, just to name a few, and then I dealt with a whole bunch of, a bunch of West Coast stuff.
That one slid under me. Okay.
Yep.
Didn't know about the Moke and Steph part. We'll get into that definitely.
Yeah, that was my one R&B thing that I did. I made the attempt. It did pretty good.
Right, yeah, she did. Moke and Steph with the bomb. I remember her. Then she sung that He's Mine, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, shout out to Moke and Steph. And Greg, so when did you get started? We know, like you said, you started as a DJ real early on, before the management thing and all that. But just give a brief of how you got started DJing and what all you did as a DJ. What ground did you break early on?
I started DJing at house parties. My mom used to have house parties all the time. I started DJing her house parties. Then I graduated to, you know, clubs and stuff, from Bittenapple, Red Onion, Highwayman, La Cafe, what else? Did some stuff, you know, with music people on the equipment side, you know, from Uncle Jan's Army and stuff. So, you know, I was around that era.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Maverick Flat down there.
Maverick Flat.
That's so old school.
That's what I'm saying. He's naming some stuff some of these people may not know about or go kind of back, so. You know, they may not know all of these spots, but if they know, they know. But they definitely know Maverick Flats. So give you some background on that. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, sir. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I'm here.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, Maverick Flats when Uncle John's Army had the club right next door to us called the Playpen. That was crazy.
The Playpen.
2 days was crazy. Yep.
Wow. Yeah, Greedy Greg, man. So much history. And what was the scene like? Even before, well, I know rap was around and the things that were going on, but what was the scene for you as far as DJing? Was hip-hop making a big impression in, or were you still, like, as far as the parties you were DJing? Was it a hip-hop crowd, or was it pre-hip-hop? Or
it was a hip-hop crowd, but hip-hop was just a baby at the time. You know, it was just breaking through. You know, the Run DMC, the Eric B. and Rakim, the KRS-Ones. It was just, you know, breaking onto the scene. Of course, we had the Sugar Hill Gang, but when when KRS-One came on the scene and Run DMC and LL Cool J, you know, it starts turning the corner. That's when I really got into it.
Right.
So I got bored with DJing and I thought I'd try my hand with producing, but I'm not a good producer, but I can fix you. I can tell you what you need to do to make it sound right. But
right.
I'm not
composer.
One to punch beats and stuff.
Composer.
Like that. Huh? Composer.
We say a composer. Yeah,
oh.
A composer. you know, a composer, right, you know, when they just kind of regulate everything and let you know, hey, this needs to go here, this needs to go there, I need this sound.
Yeah, okay.
Arranger,
that,
composer.
That sounds good. That sounds good. That sounds right. Oh.
Right.
Those were the good old days, man.
Okay. And what were some of the maybe early hip hop, or what made you want to get into hip hop? I know you started with Tone Loc, which was your family. Was that just how you started, or did you want to get into the management game or behind some of these hip hop acts that was coming up at that time?
I just wanted to get in the mix. I didn't care how. I just needed to get in the mix, and I used to rent equipment to these white guys over at UCLA. And they hit me one day and they said, we're looking for a rapper, so we're going to start our own label. And that was this Delicious Vinyl. And I took them Tone, because I was working with Tone. Actually, I was trying to produce Tone. He belonged to this group called the AAA Crew. And they called us the AAA Crew because their all name was Anthony, Anthony, Anthony. So, and when I took them to Delicious, they just wanted one artist. So it ended up being Tone. So that was the start of it. And I got that bug, and once I got that bug, I couldn't get rid of it. You know,
right.
I tell people now, music is my side chick right now, you know. I try to get out, but she's calling me back. She's dragging me back into the game. Yeah. I just love music, and it's hard for me to leave the music scene.
Right. So, let me ask you this, Greg, was it discouraging for you, or I don't want to say discouraging, what do you want to call it, when, you know, I know, like we said, you started off with Tone Loc, but, you know, people have heard the story, I don't know if they have or not, or if you want to speak on it, that things didn't actually go as well as planned with you and Tone Loc, once kind of success came, and I know you guys had issues and all that. I know that was hard, especially being family, but whatever the case may be, did that discourage you any, you know, starting off, coming into it like that and having disappointment? What made you want to push forward after that situation?
At the time, Tone, when I took Tone to Delicious, I worked at a grocery store. I used to work at Bond's graveyard shift. And when things went south for me and Tone.
No, I said shout out to Bond's.
When things went south for me and Tone, I went south, man. I started drinking. I was messed up for about 6 weeks. And then one morning I just thought, you know, like I get off work in the morning, I grab me a six-pack and go home and just really put my head down. And then I just like, hey, you know, I can create another one, you know. So I ended up start hanging out at a studio of Total Track with Tracy and Courtney, with Total Track.
Mm-hmm.
And we started working. We was working on L.A. Dream Team, worked on Bobcat, which at the time Bobcat was LL Cool J's DJ. And we cut a record on him. And that got me fired up again. And I started hanging out. I hung out at Total Track for a while. And I came to the studio one day, and Quick was there working with Clauser. And if anybody knows,
okay,
Mrs. Closet was in the Bobby Brown video, and she was in the Hammer, MC Hammer video. She was a dancer. But
yep,
she had the reputation.
Yep,
you put her in your video.
Right.
Yeah, you put her in your video, you're gonna go platinum. So they were trying to develop her as an artist, but she was okay. But me and Quick start, you know, talking. He told me he had a mixtape together. He was down with this group called the Penthouse Players, and he started playing some of this stuff.
Tweet Cadillac.
Like, oh, this is it. Yep, Tweet Cadillac. Tweet Cadillac play him. So
yes,
I went to check him out, and I wanted to sign him at the time. I tried to get him a deal, but we could never come to terms. But me and Quick, you know, started developing a relationship, and Quick decided to leave the group, and the rest is rap history, because He had enough stuff for an album on his solo album on his own, but he started coming to my studio because I put a studio together after that, and we
started
collaborating on a couple of things, and got his whole package together and ended up getting him a deal.
Hmm. Yeah, which we know is definitely history since DJ Quick is who he is. And just to know that you were behind some of that is just, man, beautiful, legendary. But let me, because I want to get into that, that's a whole other spiel, but one more thing on the Tone Loc thing, right? And I'm going to leave that alone.
Mm-hmm.
But just being, again, that was it harder for you to deal with that, just period, being that he had success and kind of took off on you, but was it even harder being that was family? Like, how did you deal with that?
Man,
like, being
that
family?
That
like, you
got to
see
up,
this
man.
Guy at fan reunion or, like, what? Like, you want to go put hands on him? How was that?
That kind of messed me up for a while, you know, because we were real close. You know, we go to family reunions together and everything, and all of a sudden when he got successful, he just distanced himself from me. And that you know, he ghosted me, as you youngsters
right.
would say. He ghosted me, and I couldn't get in contact with him. And next thing I know, he had new management. And then he was out the country before I knew it. He was overseas.
Wow.
So it kind of messed
wow.
up.
Wow. And then and just you know, again, how Tone Loc, how he took off, so how he had so much success. I know that was just hard for you to, you know, see that and deal with it. But just besides that, were you ever able to get a clear, like, years later? I know you sued him, and you guys went through a lot of legal stuff. But did you ever eventually get a complete answer or anything just to kind of closure on that from him?
It's still not closed. I see him at different situations, and he's, like, mad at me. I'm going, like, nigga, I should be mad at you, you know?
Right.
I gave you life.
Wow.
I gave you a pocket full
right,
of money.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So, you know,
wow.
I got over it, but, you know, every time, it just cracks me every time I see him at different functions, and, you know, he's looking like he's mad dog.
He just try to act like he ain't do nothing. He just try to act like you the bad
right,
guy.
Right, because
you sue him.
Like, I'm the bad guy, you know? Exactly.
Right.
And then, you know, a couple of family
wow.
members ran up on him, and he kind of, you know, had different things. Like, man, you fouled. You fouled. You know,
right.
So, even the family kind of like,
wow.
like looked at him kind of sideways.
I'm sure they did. That is,
yep.
you know, wow, that's crazy. I just wanted to, you know, ask you about that. I don't want to stay on that too long. We got
no,
so
no.
much more history
no,
that
you can
you
ask,
made.
You can,
okay.
My career is open
okay.
for you. You can ask me anything.
Right, okay. Speaking of books, will we ever get a book from you, Greg? Because you have the history, man. I mean, there's so much that people don't know
that
you haven't spilled out. You need that, man. We need that book, Greg.
Everybody keeps telling me that, but I'm like, I didn't think my career, I had a good career. I can't complain, but I didn't think it was that interesting as people think it is. But it has its ups and downs, peaks and valleys, but, you know.
Right.
Man,
we need
career,
that book, Greg.
I'm
going to just put it out there. We need that book, Greg. I'm just putting it out there, man, me, myself. We need that because I'm
baby,
sure it's a
baby,
lot
baby,
you can
baby.
Expound on. I'm sure
oh,
it's
yeah,
a lot,
yeah,
like
yeah.
even with us having this conversation and talking about it, even just say the Tone Loc situation, I'm sure there's so much more inside of that that people just don't know, that we're only speaking on the surface, you know what I mean? So it's just these
right.
stories that people would love to hear, you know what I mean? People want that history, you know, so I just think it would be just needed for a book or something of that nature, documentary or,
maybe,
you know, anything.
Maybe,
you know.
Maybe I'll do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, like I said, we got so much more to speak on, so much more history. But before I do that, I want to bring Queen Jean in, my co-host. I'm sure she has a few questions for you to lay on you as well. Because I know I got a
hit
lot.
Hit me with a queen. Hit
queen
me with a queen.
Queen Jean.
Hey, Greedy Greg. How did you enjoy your birthday?
I took it easy and slow. You know, with this virus, you're scared to move around. You don't want to make that mistake and catch that virus, you know?
Right, I hear you.
So
I hear you.
Stayed out the way.
I hear you.
Stayed at home and
just
laid low.
Chilled out.
Yeah, just chilled out. It's, you know, you want to do things, but then you don't want to get caught up in the wrong thing.
Right.
I had a couple of good friends of mine that caught the virus. One of them died, and one of them
almost
died. It took him like a month from the recovery. It's been 3 months, and he's still trying to recover from it. So I just didn't want to take no chances. I'm cool. I'm good. I'm just happy to be alive.
Yeah, it sounds like myself, I'm the type that I'm afraid to make any type of move because I feel like I would be the one that would get what's out there. The boogeyman would get me. So I feel you. I kind of lay low, too.
Queen said no. Moves.
Yeah, really. When did you get the name Greedy Greg? What inspired Greedy Greg? Where did that come from?
Good question.
Well, what inspired Greedy Greg is like when I first got in the business and I started trying to call companies to do deals and stuff, I give them my real name, I wouldn't get a call back. And I was dating this girl and you know, and doing that thing, and she's like, I'm going to start calling you Greedy Greg. And then I said, you know what, I'm going to run with that name. And I start calling companies with that name, and I was getting callbacks because everybody wanted to know who would fucking call herself Greedy.
Right.
So it worked out for me, you know, and I just kept it.
Okay.
It was a romance thing. Okay, that's what I
feel you. Hey, look, that can be taken in so many ways, Greedy Greg. So I like the romance part of it.
They call me greedy, but I'm not greedy.
Just a little bit. You like appetizers? Okay.
Yeah, appetizers. That's it.
Uh-oh.
I was like, look, okay. I want to touch just a little bit on this Tone Loaf situation. It's just going to be very short. Even though he did what he did to you, look at the success you had after that. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, you went to drinking. You fall into a black hole for a minute, depression, because family can do that to you because you don't think that family would do that, especially when you're helping them out. So I can relate to that falling back and getting into your emotions and your head, trying to figure this out, like, why me when I was there for you? But I'm just saying that look at your success after that. So sometimes we think that these people are removing themselves from our lives, but it's actually the Most High that's doing it. So just think if he would have stayed in your path, would your path have grown bigger, or what would it have been? So let's just praise the Most High.
It just made me drive harder. It made me realize. Right. I don't think it made me realize they didn't create me. I created them. And
right.
When I create them, I can create another one. You know?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's what you did. You created a whole lot of other ones. I mean, look at these hitters you put out here. You know, especially my homeboy, DJ Quick, because I'm from Compton myself. So look at the hitters that you put out here. And also, I wanted to ask you about your DJing. What inspired your DJing? I heard you in an interview, but I just want you to tell the people what inspired your DJing.
The love of music, and the love of music, and the love of seeing people have a good time. I like people to have a good time. You know, it's like you go to like when I DJ for the people. I see DJs DJ for themselves. They want to cut, scratch, and play their favorite song 30 times. I would always try to you know, feel the crowd out and try to understand what do I think they like. What do they want to hear? Not what I want to hear. So, and taking that approach, I was pretty successful. I would like to think I was pretty successful at DJing because I played at all types of things, country and western parties, bar mitzvahs. So I was able to adapt to any musical situation.
And it started at home, at your mom and dad's house parties, and you stated about one of my favorite songs by the Dramatics, "Door to Your Heart," and you say you've seen this lately.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you heard
that
somewhere. That is true. That kind of like inspired me really to DJ because I saw the emotions that the music can bring on the people. You know, because when they played that Dramatics, "Door to My Heart," and I played that, I saw like this other side of this lady come on. I was like, God, this is fun. I like to do this just to see people's reaction when I play certain songs. You know?
Right. Right. Yeah, I said, wow, because door to your anything by the Dramatics, you would see an emotion from me because that's one of my favorite artists as well. And you also stated about your mom loving Al Green and Teddy Pendergrass, those R&Bs, like Isaac Hayes, and then your dad, Jimmy Reed, Otis Redding, and Johnny Taylor. He knew them personally?
Yeah, he knew them personally. My dad was trying to manage a couple of people. They did a couple of parties at a couple of ballrooms or halls around town, and they bring artists into town and stuff. He had little success. Him and my uncle, he had little success. My father passed when I was 12. And when I had the success with Tone and Quick, my uncle came to me, and he was in tears. You did it. You did it. You got it done. Because they had been trying to do something successful for years. And they had little success, but he felt like I had the big success, which, you know, I did. But it was kind of, it felt good to hear that from my uncle, that, you know, he was happy for me that I had success.
Right. Is this your dad's brother, your uncle?
No, this is my auntie's husband. But him and my dad used to run the streets together, so, you know, that was real sweet because my dad wasn't around. And to hear something from his running buddy that, you know, that he was proud of me being successful at what they were trying to do.
So let me ask you this. What is one of your most memorable moments with DJ Quick?
The first time I heard the record on the radio.
Right. Because every joint he has is fire. It's not one that doesn't make you get up and want to bust a move some type of way. But yeah, what about the player Penthouse?
I wanted to sign Penthouse Players, but we could never get over a certain hurdle. But I ended up helping them get a deal on Rufus at the end of the day.
Okay.
So the opportunity came back around, and then me and Player Ham did a record together. He did a solo record, and it was on an independent label. And that record came out pretty good, but it was at that time, it was kind of hard to break an artist, a solo artist, without proper funding. I put it like that.
Oh, okay.
He had an investor.
Okay, so look, you and I are around the same age. And we come from old school, the old school music with the instruments and, you know, just the good music from the soul. What do you think about the music of today? Do you have an opinion of the music of today, the way it's out there?
I don't want to get drugged on the internet.
I'm just delicate, man.
I feel you, Greg.
Huh?
I feel you.
Okay, well,
you got to be delicate.
Here's the thing about the music today. It leaves you so empty. It has no feelings.
Right.
You know, you hear it and you forget it just as fast as you hear it. Our music from
and
our
it all
era.
All sounds the same.
Yeah, it all sounds the same. But our music from my era, it sticks with you. So I'm sure you can hear songs that you heard that came out when you were younger, and every time you hear it, you can remember exactly the first time you heard it, what was going on in your head, who you were with. I don't get none of that when none of this stuff that's playing now.
Right.
I'm like a confused old man. Like, man, what? Is this really music? Is this a song?
It's not even a vibe now. So
right.
We're going to leave that alone. If you get drugged, I'm going to get drugged. So, you know, I'm going to be right there with you. So we'll leave that alone. But
here's the weirdest thing to me. Like, you be in a room full of young people, and a song come on, one of these new songs come on, and everybody's bobbing, and you're going like, what are y'all vibing to? This is nothing to vibe to. That's the vibe. There ain't no vibe in here. What is he saying?
Right.
He sounds retarded. He sounds like a third grader.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's why I said you can't even get a vibe from the music nowadays, because they do. It all sounds the same. I mean, it's different artists, but it just sounds the same. And
that's the problem. It all sounds the same. That's my only problem.
Yeah.
Can we get some different, everybody following the same blueprint now, and that, it's okay. Well, you know, Greg, back in the day, that was not acceptable to sound like the next person. But now it is.
Yeah, and then we don't get the real good instruments. You know, you don't get to hear the banging
no instruments.
No instruments. Yeah,
you
know.
You're hearing just the same drum patterns, too. No instruments
at
all.
Exactly.
I had some youngsters come to my studio last couple of weeks. I ain't going to say where they're from. And they played the video for me. And I'm sitting there watching the video. It was 4 minutes of them throwing guns up in the air. And I was like,
oh, wow.
Okay, what am I supposed to do with this?
Right.
And they were like, this is what they want to hear. I said, but you ain't said nothing. All I see is some guns going up in the air and a bunch of dudes jumping up and down. Help me understand, you know. But I'm working on some stuff. I hope it's going to work out. Some new music.
Yeah, because sometimes when you're, you know, old, from the old school, you got to kind of, if you're in the same still today, you got to change with the way things are. Unfortunately, you have to just kind of go that route.
I mean, you got to kind of reinvent. You don't have to necessarily change, because I hate to see, you know, older acts, you know, just try to do what they're doing now. That's what I don't like. But
right.
It's okay to reinvent yourself and do some new stuff, but not try to sound like and do what they're doing.
Because
people want
question.
You. They love you for you. Go ahead.
Here's the million-dollar question. How far must I dumb down for them to like my stuff?
Right.
I don't think you should dumb
down.
That's what people get confused at.
Yeah.
That's where they get confused. I don't think you should dumb down. I just think you should be creative.
Look.
Try to create something that they can like, but you don't have to dumb down.
That'll come around to your style, your taste. You know, just throw little bit of work, a little bit of the oomph in it, but not to totally change.
I was just joking. I'm not going to totally change, but I would subscribe to do what you do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially, Greg, if you're an artist that people love you for being you, like for what you did. I know you can reinvent, because there's only a few that have been able to hang around, like the Quicks and Snoops and all of them, and especially Snoop has just kind of recreated himself a lot. But it's worked for him, you know. But sometimes, you know, your original fans kind of, and I know you have to try to stay with the times, and then you want to work with new artists and the youngsters and all of that. But, you know, I don't know. It's a thin line though with that stuff. You know what I mean?
Snoop figured it out.
Go ahead.
In the last couple of years, Snoop figured it out how to extend his career.
Right. Right. Yeah. Let me ask you this, Greg. Being that you come from or work with people like Quick, you know, just like we're talking about the new school and what they're doing, or even other artists you're working with. When you work with somebody like Quick, who kind of can do it all, you know, an artist, a producer, instruments, all this stuff we're talking about, he did and could do, and was so creative. Do you almost kind of get spoiled, or just hard to work with other artists that are not kind of bringing those things to the table to keep you inspired?
Yeah, you know, like working with Quick, he makes it easy in the studio because he's pretty much self-contained, and you just have to figure out a few little things.
Right.
Figure out the whole thing, the whole picture, the whole vision.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So, I mean, it's always been a Quick, artists like Quick. AMG I love working with AMG. The thing about AMG, he's a forward thinker, so he's going to tell you what's going to happen down the road musically.
Right.
And he's
going to
try to do something to that.
Right. I'm glad you brought up AMG, because I want to ask you about him. I know you work with him as well, but there's some things that's kind of a mystery around AMG. Before I do that, though, let me take a quick caller. This caller has been waiting for a minute. I'm sorry I forgot to go to them. If you don't mind, right quick, let me take a quick caller that may want to holler at you, Greg. 323, you're live on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hey,
hello.
Good evening.
Hello. Hey, big bro. Hey, how are you?
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
Good. Well, I was going to ask y'all, how do y'all guys feel about the new artists that promote, you know, like the demonic songs?
I don't like that, but I'll let them answer.
Some of demonic...
Probably like that new Lil Nas X thing.
Yeah,
I know that's probably what she's
going
with it.
Yeah.
That's not talent. That's just noise.
Right.
Noise. That's not music. It's noise. And I try to block all that noise out of my life. All that negative noise. He's just doing it for publicity and promotion.
That's not the way how you go. It like Nipsey Hussle said before he died, it's codes and there's rules to this. People just lack on integrity and off on logic.
Right. Right. Very true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, integrity goes out the window. I don't know what's wrong with these artists nowadays. I guess some people will sell their soul for fame.
Yep.
Oh yeah, that's exactly what's going on. They'll do anything for fame these days. Go ahead, Greg.
Fame is a dangerous drug.
Actually, I
worked with Nipsey when he first started, but we.
Oh wow.
We didn't gel, so.
Give us some of that, Greg. Give us some of that, Greg.
He came to my studio when he first. I guess when he first decided to rap, some guys, a friend of mine bought him by, and we did a couple of sessions, but we never did accomplish anything musically because his focus wasn't there. But I was excited when I heard his progression and he had got focused. I'm always happy for when somebody, they grow, and, you know, I have not a jealous bone in my body. If it doesn't work out, it just doesn't work out between us. You know, I've missed out on the Black Eyed Peas. They came to the studio at the time. They came. This was before they had put Fergie in the group. And they came to the studio.
So this is after Easy?
This is like after Easy,
I know he dealt with
and
Easy too, right? One of the guys. Okay.
Yeah, Will. I didn't get it because I was so engulfed in doing gangster rap music. I didn't hear nothing else.
Right.
That's all I wanted to do.
Right.
Do some gangster rap, you know. And I didn't get their type of music. But, you know, it never bothered me when I don't, you know, work with a group or don't sign a group and they blow up. I'm happy for everybody.
Right. Hey, Tanisha, thank you for calling in, sweetheart. Thank you, sis.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, is the Cali picnic going to happen this year on virtual?
We're not sure yet. that's what I'm trying to find out, Flossie. A lot of people are asking me. I'm not sure about it yet. They haven't gave me a final answer, so I don't know. But as soon as I do, you know, I'm going to blast it and put it out there.
I really enjoyed it, you know, talking with D Smoke and all them. I really enjoyed it.
Right. So I'm not sure for sure because they told me they're going to have some information in a couple of days. So if they do, I wouldn't count on it because to me they would already been promoting it. But they said we got some surprises, so hopefully we do have it. So I'll let you know as soon as I find out. But they're supposed to know for sure in the next couple of days. So, you know, if I know, I'll let you know. But thank you.
All right. Bye.
All right. Hey, Greg, one more thing on Nip. You know, like you said, it didn't work out. Maybe I'm sure he's probably young then when you were around him. But at that time, did you still see something in him, though, that later progressed, that you seen later that, like you said, he got focused, but you seen something in him then that you seen come out later? Or How did you feel?
I saw something in him. But like I say, it just wasn't the time. Sometimes it just ain't the time.
Right. Right.
You know, and he wasn't focused, and so he just kept moving.
Right.
So
yeah,
that didn't work out. But I was happy for him when I seen him pop up again, and pop up and blow up.
Right. Right. That's what's up. Hey, and I want to ask you, like, before the caller, we spoke on AMG, which is AMG, mm-hmm. we all know, is an incredible artist, done a lot of great things with Quick, but he somehow was kind of always under the Quick umbrella or under Quick, seemed like, even though he broke out, had a big platinum single and did a lot of things. But what was the story, like, behind AMG? Because I don't know if you managed him first, before Quick, or after. AMG was an interesting character.
Okay. I managed him. He's funny as hell too. I managed him before Quick. People don't realize AMG produces too. He produces on his own hits. But you know, Quick always got to shine for it.
That's what I say. Quick always shadows him, so people think that's Quick's artist or something. But AMG really had his own thing, right?
Yeah, he had his own, AMG had his own thing. What happened was that when I met Quick, I put those two together, and they did a single together before I got Quick's deal. They ended up on the album, but the single, it was okay. We were just trying to feel things out and trying to figure things out. And then they start working together, and then Second to None came into the fold, and we all start working as a group, and we did a mixtape. It's a legendary red mixtape. I don't know why they call it the red.
The red tape.
The red tape, whatever. And before we really got the tape off the ground, we had some copies out on the street, but we had ended up getting a deal, quicker deal first. Then we got AMG a deal. Then we got Second a deal. So that was the sequel.
And Second, I later found Second and None's deal. They were also on Pro. I don't think AMG was on Profile, but Second and None was also on Profile, right? If I'm not correct. And I want to ask you. Okay. Let me ask you this, Greg. How was that dealing with Profile? Everyone would have thought maybe. I know he had a relationship with Eric, and how Penthouse was signed to Eric and Ruthless. Maybe thought Quick should have, and he said he wanted to. But how did that work out with you guys signing a deal with Profile, which was a, if I'm not mistaken, a New York-based label, was not in California, and I know they dealt with Run DMC and all them. But how was that dealing with that label? How did that work out, being that Quick was a West Coast artist?
Profile was great. Profile was, Profile was great. See, we originally really wanted to go to Priority, but Brian Turner said he got the original, which was easy, and he didn't want to copycat.
Okay.
So they turned us down, and we ended up shopping in New York. And Quick got on Profile, then AMG got on Select.
Okay, Select, that's what it was, Select. Both New York-based labels, right?
My best deals is in New York. I don't know, my L.A. deals, they just didn't click like they did. You know, then when I did the Domino record, we went to Def Jam, and that was a big step for me. Def Jam gave me my own label, which was RAL, Rush Associated Labels. But me and my partner,
I remember that.
Our deal was
I didn't know that was your label.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Albert's. Yep.
Wow.
Me and my partner's label. And our deal was we pay for our own marketing and everything. We find our own artists, put our records out when we want to. So their first label that they let you fund. It was their first joint venture, I guess you could say.
Right.
And I learned so much game working with Russell, Lior, the whole Def Jam people. You know, I learned most of my chops from them. Profile, don't get me wrong,
right.
Profile was great, but they were, they didn't have the machine like Def Jam.
Yeah.
Def Jam had the big machine.
And you would
big
think,
guns.
You would think, I mean, even with Profile, well, I guess I heard that they went bankrupt. I don't know, some things happened with the label, but you would think with the success, Profile was always one of those labels that you didn't see, unlike Def Jam and so many others, you didn't see faces or really know, but you just knew the label just because Run DMC made it so famous. And then so many other people were on Profile, but Profile has always sort of been like a mystery at the same time. Could you agree?
They had Poor Righteous Teachers. They had Special
Ed.
They had Danny Dane. They had Sweet
Tea. Yeah, a lot of people.
They had
Sweet
Tea. They had a lot of people. Yep.
But you
and
never
had,
seen like. But it,
well,
it was like you never seen any
the
faces. Right. Go
they
ahead.
They didn't have the promotional staff that you know. They were staffing enough to get you on the radio and get you two things here and there. You know, I always said if I had the records that I had back then now, where things are, you know, I'd be killing the game.
Right. Right. And another thing with Profile, obviously, I'm only saying this because a mystery, meaning that you just never seen any faces or, like, who was Profile? Like, you didn't see, like, how you got Def Jam Russell or the people you could see or put a face with it, but you knew the acts were on there. And they had to be, obviously, somebody even for Russell to sign a deal with Run DMC with them, because that's where it broke. You know, Russell, you know, so many people dealt with Profile. That, you know, they were obviously official. I'm just saying it was a mystery. We just never knew what was behind Profile. And then they just disappeared.
Profile was two Jewish guys, one named Corey Robbins and the other one Steve Plotnicki. And I think Corey's family owned Baskin and Robbins. And him and Steve ended up getting into a spat, and they wanted to dissolve the company. And Profile, what's his name, over at Airspin, ended up buying Profile catalogs and everything. So everything went to hell after that.
So how did that work for the artists? Were they kind of stuck or binded? Or how did that work for the artists that were there?
Clive Davis ended up buying Profile.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
So it kind of went to hell. You know, he didn't want the whole shebang. Really, Clive wanted Quick.
Okay. And that's what Quick eventually landed with Arista. Wow.
Yeah.
He did on Balance
then,
and Options.
Yeah, but then Quick started dibbling and dabbling with Death Row. And I don't think Clive was too happy with that part of it. So that kind of
Quick was already with Arista when he was with Death Row. I thought he was with them after.
Well, it all happened simultaneously.
He owned Profile. Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
Mm-hmm.
But Quick was saying that he was having some issues, I guess, with his label, which I guess was Profile. That's why he started dealing with Suge, right? Is that what happened, or how did that happen?
The real feeling was Profile didn't have enough promotion for him.
Okay.
Enough promotion staff. They couldn't get him. They couldn't really blow him up. Yeah. So, like, you know, Def Row had the Interscope machine, which was universal.
Right.
And Profile had a staff of 8 or 10. Interscope had a staff of hundreds. You know.
Right.
So,
Greg, let me ask you. We spoke about our Clive. So how did you feel when Quick started, you know, kind of dabbling with Death Row and dealing with Suge, which we know later on, I guess he wasn't happy either. But how did you feel and the people around him, even though it seemed kind of good at the time, you know, but how did you feel about it initially?
Biggest mistake he made in his career.
Wow. Okay. And he says that himself. He does say that himself now. but I just wanted your take on it. Because at the time, I guess everybody thought it was good.
Here's the thing. They were quick second with impatient. If they would have waited, they could have been the new NWA. They could have took that lane. But they rushed it because, you know, Death Row had took the market over. Everything was Death Row, you know. And they wanted to, you know, everybody wanted to be a part of it. But if they had, you know, been patient, a little patient, they could have had their cake and everything. All they had to do was continue on the path they were on and continue to make the same music. And stay out of that lane. You know, that lane was crazy.
Right, yeah. Yeah, a lot going on
To in a rush to get to the top. They could have got to the top with a little patience.
Right. What, Greg, were you one of the ones, or like you just said, the biggest mistake you made, but being that you, you know, were around Quick since earlier in day one, and maybe other people, were there people kind of letting Quick know that, like, that's not a good move, or did you guys just let him do his thing? Like, how did you feel, or where were you when this was going on?
Hey, if you don't want to be with me, I don't want to be with you. I'm good.
Okay.
Tone Loc taught me a valuable lesson. And the lesson is you can do this with them or without them. You know, you created them, you can create another one. There's a new rapper on every bus stop.
Right. So again, Greg, you have these obstacles, and you know, with the artists that you obviously build something with, Tone Loc was your family, but Quick, I'm sure, became family, and you build these bonds, and you deal with these issues again, where it kind of goes left. How do you maneuver from that, or move forward, or like, what do you do at these times?
Shake it off and keep stepping, and look for the next bus stop.
Okay. I hear you. But I know eventually.
I can't bog myself down because it would drive you crazy. It would drive you crazy.
But I'm sure, like, you and Quick later, obviously, because we know you guys have a family, great relationship and things. I'm sure probably later on once he figured out or whatever the case. But the relationship is good these days, right?
It is what it is. It's all right.
Okay. All righty then. Let me fall back. Queen, go ahead and take over for a minute again, Queen. Let me fall back.
It's all right.
Go ahead, Queen. Go ahead, Queen.
It's all right. That chapter in my life is over. I feel like that.
Right, okay. Wow. Oh, Queen wasn't in. What happened, Queen?
I had to hang up real quick because my sister kept calling me, so I thought it was something going on, but yeah.
Everything okay?
But yeah, I don't know because she didn't pick up, but she just called me back, but I'll call her when I got the show. Yeah, Greedy Greg, that was surprising. You said it is what it is, huh? right.
I had to fall back. I thought it was good. Oh, my God. Okay.
As good as it's going to be, I got a new crop of talent that I'm getting ready to drop. It would have dropped last year, but the virus kind of just put everything on hold. But I got my niece is coming out. My niece coming out of record, and then I got this young singer named Jesus Rose.
It's
gonna be the truth. It's gonna be the truth.
Okay.
Y'all gotta get ready.
You heard it first.
Queen's gonna love it. Queen's gonna love it. You're the first to hear it, Queen. You're gonna love it.
Okay.
You're gonna love him.
Okay, I'm looking forward to that. Truly, I am. And how old are these artists?
Jesus Rose is 25. My niece is 24.
That's good. They have a passion for music. Because I know you have a passion for it, like you said, greedy, that can stand for so many things. So that's also for the music thing as well. Having a passion for music is a wonderful thing to have.
Right.
Because I love music as well. I mean, I love music just like the OJs would sing, you know, any type of music, long as it's music, you know. Like you said, you did all type of music, country. What is your favorite genre of music?
My favorite genre?
Yeah, music.
I love some good R&B, some, I love some dramatics. I love some, you know.
Dramatic.
I love some LB.
Some Blue Magic.
What was that?
Blue Magic, Shy Light.
I love stuff from that era.
Yeah.
Because it feels good and soothing and, it's true talent.
So look, you said that era. The era nowadays, the generation or this era nowadays is so different from the era back, you know, back in our era, in our generation. Me and my daughter was having this conversation earlier, and I told her that, you know, when you're in your sixth decade, you get to see so many different things and the way the world has changed. How do you feel about it? Like, how do you move around in it? It's just... So you just kind of fall
back on
some things that you see and just be like,
I just stand back excuse me?
No,
I just stand back and try to, like, analyze it. Like, okay, why is this working? And, you know, I personally hate social media, and I think it's the biggest pot of bullshit that's ever been in a minute.
They say it's the devil. Hey, Greedy, they say it's the devil.
Well,
yeah, because they don't use it correctly.
No.
You know?
No.
I mean, it's good for some things, like, you know, for some of the things that, you know, Black Lives Matter protest has worked for. It's good for that, like the thing that happened with George Floyd. You know, why should you just say the camera phone? So if it's
well,
used correctly, it can be good.
The camera phone, the phone period, is the worst thing that happened to this generation.
Yeah, because of the way that it's used.
Because of the way it's
used.
Kids don't read books anymore. They know everything. If they don't know it, they think, I'm going to Google it. And they think Google is the Bible.
Yeah, they made them dummies.
It's too
like
easy
said,
for
Google
them.
It. Yeah, they don't
it's
get a
too
easy
easy
reality.
For the iPad. Too easy for the iPad information.
Right, and that's what I was going to say, Greg. Do you think it almost to the point, the one bad thing, because there's some good with it too, like this was good and the bad with the technology, the phone, like how everything, we can get stuff processed and interact and all that, but the flip side, like you said, is the kids to where they're almost too spoiled. They don't do anything. They don't go outside. They don't, you know, find out that everything is just, like you said, on the phone and or things of that nature where they're not really getting the full experience of everything. And it's almost, like you said earlier, dumb people down and almost spoiled the kids to where, you know, the way they get it is different than how we grew up. And that's why, like you said, it's a lot of stuff missing in this generation, like soul and tech and just a lot of things that they just can't get because you can't get that from a phone or just sitting up there in the house or just how it's processed these days.
Right. I was talking to Andy from the Watch Prophet, and he had this poem that he wrote, and he was talking about the smartphone has made us dumb. You know, you don't even remember people's telephone numbers anymore.
Oh yeah,
no, that's
no you
true.
Don't. You don't.
Definitely don't. Yeah.
That's real.
So true.
That's real.
Yeah.
You go to jail right now, you stuck because you can't call nobody.
Yeah,
you ain't got
you
your little.
Call,
if you ain't wrote down no numbers on your paper, you stuck.
Right. You can't. Well,
you
that's
stuck.
Crazy because like when rappers come to the studio and they come with their rhymes on their phone, I said, no man, that's not going to be a good experience for you. You need to write it out on a pad. You will remember it if you write it down the pad, not type it up on your phone.
Right.
You'll
exactly.
come out better on your verses. From the verses.
Yeah,
because
anything can
right.
happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, I'm the same way. Like, if I write something, I got to write it on paper. I'm not putting it in my phone, even though that seems easier. It's nothing like writing it on that paper. You know?
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know, it's different.
Yeah, it's good to have a hard copy. Same thing with phone numbers. To have a hard copy of everything. Addresses, because now you can add addresses to these contacts.
Yeah, but that phone thing is real. That phone thing is real.
Yeah.
And sometimes I we're all victim because how the phone thing works now, you got to program somebody under your phone. So even me, if I get a new number, I'll try to just keep the number before I add the face just to remember the number. But eventually, you got to just add the name because that's the name to contact. And then once you do that, the number is gone. So you don't know a number. You just know the name when they call. Like you
right.
said, and now, you know, but before we had to memorize a number, like I can still memorize my home phone number from a kid. Certain numbers, grandmother,
right.
mom, you know, certain numbers you still remember. But, you know, over time, we don't know no numbers now. It's just a name.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, I know yep. four numbers. And out of that four, one is the G. Lou Show.
yeah, for sure. I know that one, too. That's right, Quinn. I know that one.
That's right.
That's right. Show you right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow.
I want to ask Greg. It was something I want to ask Greg. Damn, it slipped my mind out because I know we talked about so many things. But earlier I did want to ask you, coming in the management game and just dealing with all the things you did, I'm sure it was obstacles. I'm sure even when you came in the game, because I heard you speak on this, you kind of didn't really know what you were doing. You kind of learned as you went. But as you went and learned many things, what would you say was maybe some of your biggest obstacles to overcome in the management game? And then what were some of the good things as well? I guess the pros and cons, you know, as things that you learned in management or just dealing with the artists or this industry, period.
The thing I learned is how to deal with people's emotions and
mm-hmm.
try to understand how everybody thinks different, but you got to really pay attention to how certain people think. And
right.
it's crazy. The biggest thing
I
learned about being management is patience. Don't rush into it.
Right. Right.
You got to be patient.
Hey, Greg, and one more thing on the management. Do you think it's harder or easier, maybe as far as being in management opposed to maybe production deals? Like when you're in management, you're just a manager, you know. So you have clients, just like you said, whether it be family or not, that can just kind of get ghost on you, fire you at any time because you're just a manager. Opposed to being maybe a production deal or a production company where you bind artists to contracts, and I know that's a whole other issue as well, you know, but you can
see something
better at the end of the day opposed to being a manager. What's the pros and cons of that?
The best position to be in is the production company, because as a manager, artists can fire you anytime. And
exactly.
So, you know what, you're a manager, you're an adult babysitter. And
right.
The dangerous part about management, the real dangerous part about management is that artist's life becomes your life and you lose your life. You lose
right.
everything about your life trying to take care of this person's business and try to make sure that everything they're doing or want to do or dream about doing is flowing right. You forget about yourself.
Right,
and
right.
You make that sacrifice. So the best position is to be in production, get your money, get out, and keep it pushing on to the next one.
So is that something maybe you regret, like you wish you would have done production companies opposed to management, or how do you feel about that in hindsight?
I don't know, regrets. I did both.
Okay.
I would always, like, this is where I like to approach it, and I still try to approach it now. If I fool with you on the production side, I've got to be part of your management team because being the production company, you have a vision what you're going to do with this artist, the direction you're trying to take it. When you bring in outside energy, like a manager or some person that you really don't know how to think, they're going to have another agenda.
Even though
you may be doing the music and they may like what you're doing, they're going to like, oh, no, I can take you. I can get you in a better situation over here. And then that's just everything explodes from there.
That's deep. That's deep. Let me see. One more. Okay, I remember what I want to ask you. One more thing, and I'm going to give it back to Queen and whatever else. But I want to ask you, we talked about Quick and AMG. I know you dealt with Second to None as well. And like you said, the Mok and stuff and a Domino. That's another one I want to ask you about. How did that come about? And and one more thing on Penthouse Players. Any Penthouse Players story, because you know Tweed is our brother. That's my brother, man. You know what I mean? I deal with Tweed a lot. Mm-hmm. That's my bro right there. He probably listening now. So any classic Penthouse Players click stories you could tell us, man?
No, because I love the whole get down and the whole music, but I always try to stay a distance from that whole click over there. You know, I was dealt with them. I dealt with them on a one-on-one basis. Not the whole group, but it was too much crazy energy. You know,
okay.
I love Tweed. Me and Tweed, while I was cool, me and Ham, we had our moments. We were cool. Next thing you know, fireworks, you know. So I never really, like, if I went over there to the Penthouse, I wouldn't stay over there too long. It was too much going on over there. It was some cool, fly shit, but it was just too much going on there for me.
They wasn't fine enough to keep you there, though, huh?
No. It was just, you know.
He said there was some fly shit going on, but it was too much. I couldn't get caught up on
that. They wasn't flying up for you to stay there and get caught up.
No, I just didn't want to get caught up in you know, that type of image.
Hey, hey, Greedy Greg, you're a wise man for that. That's wise right there. You know when to exit. Like ain't nothing fine enough to keep you up in no negative energy, right?
Oh man,
it wasn't really negative, but it was just so
much. He said, "Man, I was married. I had a girl at the time. I couldn't get caught up with them guys, man."
Yeah, that's it.
What do Tweed say? Was it too much Henny on the shell? Too much Henny.
Too much ism.
Yeah. Exactly. And as far as Domino, Battlecat bought me Domino.
Okay.
Domino was in a group called, he did a record with the Bloods and Crips, Banging on
Wax.
Yes,
sir, Banging on Wax. Yes, sir.
And
Genuine
Draft.
Yeah.
And Battlecat came one day and said, "Hey man, I got this artist for you." And he brought Domino by. Somehow we was riding together, and Domino, I said, "Okay, so what's your first single?" And he was like, he wrapped something in my ear and he was kind of singing. I said, "Oh, this is cool. This is fly. Okay, then you call the troops." And that was the Ghetto Jam.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Wow. Okay. So,
yes, sir. Hey,
put that package
Greg.
Together.
And it blew up. Rest is history. I just want to interject right quick. What was with Domino again, which was another great artist, rapper, as we know from Banging on Wax, but he came in with the Ghetto Jam and the singing thing, kind of what Nate Dogg did later, and they're both from Long Beach. I know they had their issues. But what was the deal with Domino? Because he's another one that could have been so great and done so much more. But Domino kind of fell back again as well. Even to this day, he's a low-key guy. What was the deal
with that? I'll take responsibility. Part of that was part of my mistake.
Okay.
Part of my mistake. And 50% was my mistake and 50% was ego, self-ego. You know?
Okay.
My mistake on my part was, I tried to make him something that he wasn't ready in.
Okay.
But I tried to make him a producer too. So
okay.
I helped him get some couple of deals on the side producing. Like I helped him get a deal producing a song for Shabba Ranks and a couple other people. And by the time the second album, he thought he was a great producer and thought he could produce himself. And him and Battle Cat was bumping heads. So that's why the second album, Domino, didn't really shake too well because he wanted to self-produce.
So did Domino, I mean, did Battle Cat produce Domino's first? Did he produce Ghetto Jam and all of that? That's something I never knew.
Battle Cat produced Ghetto Jam and all of his.
See, I never knew. I mean, I knew he brought Domino in the game and produced on Banging on Wax, but that's one thing I did not know. And again,
Battle Cat's first gold platinum record.
Wow. And see, for me, Queen knows, and I speak about this a lot. To me, Battle Cat is, you know, no disrespect to Dre and Quick, which I love, and they are the forefront of the West Coast. But to me, Battle Cat is just the greatest to do it. To me, I mean, as far as West Coast, that guy is just, you know, Domino is a monster, man. I don't know if he gets his props. He does on the West, but maybe not other places. But to me, Domino is my favorite producer. That guy there, man, I didn't even know that about the Domino album. Wow.
Come out Battle Cat.
Wow.
Yep. That was, I have Cat in his first gold and platinum.
Wow. That's big. Yeah, shout out to Cat.
So to become a producer, you don't have to have degrees or anything to become a producer, go to school. How does that even all happen?
Personally, I never went to school for it. And I tried to discourage people from going to these engineering schools because my thing is if you sit in the studio and pay attention long enough and just study what's going on, you eventually catch on what's going on. And I think music is more of a feel thing than a technical thing. And, you know, you go to school, they teach you technical things and theories. I've always learned a feel. Oh, that feels good. That sounds good.
Hands-on.
Let's run with it.
Yeah.
Let's run with it. Yeah, hands on.
Always
wonderful. Okay. Yeah, Queen. I mean, people do go to school for it, but that's more technical, but your best never went to school a day in their life. They made it up. And a lot of production as far as hip-hop just comes from hip-hop itself, DJ, the DJs. A lot of those favorite producers you love were DJs first because that's what hip-hop was based on, was breakbeats and samples. So they were DJs, and they learned how to work that beat machine and more things because they had the ear and just became great producers for the most part. Go ahead, Greg.
Look, Quick was a good producer. He was a good Quick and DJ, real good. He was a good DJ. One thing I liked about Quick, when we used to go buy equipment, Quick, he's the only artist or producer I know would do this. We go buy a piece of equipment, and he brings the box back to the studio, open the box up, excited about it, pull out the manual, move the box to the side,
and
sit there and read the manual from the front to the back before he even plugs the machine up. And that's the only producer I ever known to do that. Everybody else is ripping the box up, plugging stuff up, and kind of figures it out on the fly. But Quick would read the whole book and understand that piece of gear. That's what made him better than most guys.
Right. Wow. Hey, Greg, did you ever get to one thing, too, Greg, I know I heard you mention before in the previous that you were, I don't know if cousins or family or just close with the late, great Big Bass Brian. And if you could, can you speak more on him? Because he's another one that has a big footprint in a lot of this West Coast hip-hop history.
No, see, folks, this is the confusing part about it. Everybody thinking he's a Big Bass Brian, and they're thinking about the mastering Big Bass Brian that mastered all of the good records from – he's an old white guy.
Okay.
Big Bass Brian, I'm talking to everybody else.
Yeah, Bernie Grundy.
Everybody else in that camp. He was just a big guy named Brian. That's all you know.
Okay.
So he just that name just carried on, to you know.
Okay.
But the real Big Bass Brian was an engineer at Bernie Grumman. That's just not the same guy.
Yeah. Right. Okay. And did you ever work with speaking of these people, did you ever work with Dre? Were you ever able to work with Dre or any of these other people that we may not know about?
I worked with a lot of people on the West Coast, but I never worked with Dre. I worked with Bubba Law. I worked with who else? LA Dream Team, Bobcat. Who else? Exhibit, Cocaine. More
right.
people than I remember. You know.
Right.
It's funny. Last week I got this song from this guy, and I was asking who was the producer. And he said, this guy named Ashley, he said he worked with you. And I was like, Ashley, I don't remember him. And then come to find out, I did do a record for him in 2005. I just can't remember all the people I worked with.
Right, right. Okay.
So long list of people.
Right. Any, are there any history or stories or anything with the late, great Easy that you could tell us about that you had with him, any interactions or business or anything?
Oh, yeah, Easy.
Dealt with
Easy. When Dre left Ruthless, Easy used to come over to my studio because he was Jerry Heller would put him up to try to steal Quick from me. So Easy would come over, hang out, talk to Quick all the time. And through, him and Jerry threw Quick a birthday party at Gladstone. You know,
right.
And that's how Ken and Fred ended up getting a deal on Rufus.
Okay.
We finally beat him in submission. You can't have Quick. You can have 10 other players, and he'll be on the album.
Right.
And he'll produce the album. But Jerry,
okay.
I'm going to tell you another story. Easy wanted Quick to come to Rufus and be the producer, but I signed BT Knockout and Dracer, which is on Real Motherfucking G's.
Right.
And I signed them, and we had business record called, what's that called? I guess I'm tipping my tongue, but it was a song dissing Snoop and Nate Dogg.
Oh, the DPG Killer.
Easy was supposed to be on it, and the day he went to the hospital, he was at the studio getting ready to lay a verse for that song when he got sick.
Right.
He left the studio that day and went to the hospital, and that's when they said he had AIDS. I was like, oh, my God.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I've seen, because I actually seen recently, a few days ago, I think, when you posted a pic, you know, the pic with everybody in there, and BG was commenting on it saying, you know, the people just don't know about, which they probably didn't, about your history with BG and his brother as well. Shout out to BG Knockout.
When I did that record, they had a great album. But it was just the timing was bad, and for them to blow up, they needed Easy on the record because people were confused, like, why are they dissing Snoop? Why are they dissing Snoop?
Yeah.
Why are they dissing Nate Dogg? You know, so they
couldn't
tie the two together, even though they had a big record with Real Motherfucking G's.
Yeah,
they
needed Easy.
They couldn't tie it together. Yeah.
And then Snoop and them was so big at the time, so I'm sure that was hard to go against them like that, especially without Easy.
Right. Death Row had so much power at that time, it was ridiculous.
Right.
They just overshadowed the whole industry.
Right. Yeah, you're right. You're definitely right.
We've lost some great artists.
Yeah,
we did.
That's good times and bad times. So, any more questions?
Say what, Greg?
Queen?
I'm good. Queen, you have anything else for Greg?
Yeah, you were talking about a book. What about a documentary?
Right after Straight Outta Compton, we was going to do a DJ Quick biopic, but that got blown up. It went out the window, weirdly, but that's it. Would I do a documentary on myself? People were like, go ahead, do it. I just don't think it would be that interesting, you know, but everybody's like, you got some stories to tell. I do, but sometimes you can't tell everything you know.
Yourself
in big
right.
trouble. You know. I mean, personally, I've never moved from where I started from. You know, I'm simply located. Everybody knows where the spot is. A lot of people hate to piss somebody off and take up my spot. You know?
Right.
Or
right.
something I said. But I mean, I don't know. It may come out.
So
yeah.
You went to Manual Arts
okay.
and Crenshaw.
No, strictly Crenshaw. Shut up.
You didn't go to Manual Arts?
The Cougars.
Just Crenshaw. Yeah.
I'm a Cougar. I lived right next door to Manual Arts for a couple of years, but I had to get off of over there.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I lived in the neighborhood as well, yeah. That's a crazy neighborhood over there.
Hey, Greg, you also went to Horace Mann, so you just, I don't know, like
Ooh,
you said, but
Horace
you live
Mann.
By Manual Arts, so I don't know if, right, so you were in the area. Let me ask you this, one more thing. I want to hold you. Going to Horace Mann and Crenshaw, you were there, you know, which are two prolific schools, and we both know the history. But what was the scene like at that time when you say even Horace Mann? Was it already the gangs doing their thing? Like, what was the temperature over there at that time when you were coming up, Horace Mann and later Crenshaw, with so many, you know,
Horace
legendary
Mann
figures
was
went
hot.
There?
Horace Mann was red hot. It was, let me tell you like this. Horace Mann kids were so rough, they used to go up to Crenshaw and beat up the kids at Crenshaw. That's how bad
Damn.
Horse Mann kids were.
Damn.
It was bad. it was bad.
Wow.
You know what I learned as a horseman? I didn't learn nothing but how to survive on the street.
Wow.
How to understand street politics. That's what I learned as a horseman.
Right.
You had to being over in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, you definitely had to.
I don't know if you remember
area.
This. Horseman on the side of the school, they used to have the RTV, I mean the Metro used to be called RTV. They used to have RTV on the side
yes,
station.
Sir.
Yeah,
the
yes,
kids
sir.
Were so bad that they used to beat up the drivers and take the buses from them.
Damn.
You had kids driving the RTV buses down the street.
That's a new one. I've never heard that one. That's a new one right there. That's a new one right there.
Yep.
I haven't heard that one, Greg. Wow.
That's how bad Horseman was.
Wow.
Yeah, Horseman was terrible. That was true. Yeah, Horseman was a terrible junior high school.
It's still
that
going.
Whole neighborhood, though. Yeah.
Shout out to Horseman.
I mean, when my little cousin.
Wow.
Yeah, when they found out they was going to be going there, I was scared for them. And they're like in their 20s. So I was scared for them. Like, I told my cousin, you don't want them. I said, you got to find somebody's address to use. And she said, it ain't that easy like that no more, cousin. You can't just. You know, you got to have a whole lot of more different proof now. You can't just use somebody's address. And I was like,
right.
Man, you do not want your daughters going there. Them guys would turn her daughters out.
At the time I went to Horseman, I lived next door to Manual. So I had to jump on the bus coming from 42nd in Vermont, ride the bus past John Muir. That was a crazy trip, you know.
Right.
Just to get to Horseman, that was like a journey every day.
Wow.
Only reason I ended up at Horace Mann because my father and the principal at Horace Mann were in the army together. And you know, you'll be all
okay.
fine, you'll be all right. I was like, no, I'm not all
wow.
right. I need somebody to save me.
hey, Greg, speaking on that, one more thing, speaking on that Horace Mann and Crenshaw in that time and era, how were you able to escape, you know, the gang thing and not get caught up in being from a set and all of that type of stuff? How were you able to escape that when you were surrounded by it?
Try to mind my own business.
Mm-hmm.
Not be a nosy person to see what's going on and everything, you know. I remember, like,
right.
one day at Horsham, when I moved over here, we used to walk to school, and I walked to school with a couple people. And one day,
right.
we were right on the corner of Horace Mann, right by the gym, and there's about crew, man, about 50 Crips, was coming towards us. And I knew it was going to be trouble. By the grace of God, they didn't mess with me. They walked past me and punched the shit out of my buddy.
Damn.
And then actually, I know the cops was at my door like, we need you to come to court to testify. I was like, I seen nothing. I saw nothing.
Right.
I don't know what happened. I turned the corner, and I went on and bought my business. But that's the key, you know, just mind your own business. Don't be so quick to volunteer information and get into other
and
people's
so it's
problems.
Safe to say you weren't intrigued by that as well. Like, you weren't trying to be a part of that or eager to, you know, because some people are eager
culture.
To just. Okay.
I didn't understand the gang culture because I was always a hustler. And I was just trying, my thing was always trying to get money. And I didn't understand you on our block, you know, we own this block. No, you don't own nothing. You know, I've always worked and grind. That was always my belief. You know.
Okay.
I just never understand the gang culture.
Which was a smart move, which is very smart.
Well, I've been around gangsters. I've been around Bloods. I've been around Crips all my life. But I just never fell into that trap.
Right. And again, which was smart because later on in your career, you have management and dealing with a lot of people. Sometimes when you're tied or associated with a certain cell, you know, whatever that could be, you know, confusion or problems as far as you moving forward and doing the things you do, you know. So, like I said again, that was a smart move, you know.
You know, like people put the jacket on you by association. Like when I first started working with Quick, instantly I became a Blood. Oh, yeah, that's that dude.
Right.
Blood. I had a Blood.
Right.
Isn't that crazy? You know how they do that? It's just like the old school saying, birds of a feather flock, and you don't have nothing like the people that you're flocking with, but they just assume that you are, you know, like that. But it was good that you didn't run to a crowd because, you know, some people, they see a crowd, especially in those areas like Horseman, Manual Arts, they see that crowd, and they want to run to see what's happening. You can't do that. You better not do it nowadays. You know, speaking of Manual Arts, did you ever eat at Fred's? Fred's is one of my favorite places to go eat.
Fred's
is right there on the corner. It was right down the street from Manual Arts. It was actually on 60th and Vermont. 60th in Vermont, that's where it was at. Because I used to stay on 60th in Halldale. So, yeah.
No. I didn't go out of my area.
You didn't go that far over?
No.
He heard that 60th in Halldale. Hey, he heard that 60th in Halldale. He said, no.
I
was not over there.
I'm not going over there.
I was not over there.
I used to live on 72nd in Halldale. I used to live on 72nd in Halldale.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right, Bob.
I always went to my destination. It was no in between, you know, it's no meeting in between.
See, that's what I said.
That's how I kept myself
clean,
out of trouble.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
My man, Greedy Greg. Hey, Greg, I don't want to hold you up, man. I thank you, man, for joining us again and giving us what you gave us, man. That was classic, man, and a lot of information and history that you hold, man, over there. So I just thank you, man, you know, for joining us tonight, sir. I really do.
Okay, no problem. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yes, bless
you. Hey, Greg,
before
you get out of here, we got
to
get it. Oh, yeah, go ahead, Queen. Go ahead.
I was just saying, blessings to your prosperity, peace and love, and let us know when the new music come out so we can bring you back on, and or we can at least play it on the show, one or the other. But you know, blessings to you. You know, keep being the genuine, humble spirit that you are.
Thank you.
Yeah, my man.
What do you need from
me? Hey, Greg.
What you need?
No, I was gonna say, could you give me a drop before you leave, please? The Greedy Greg drop for the G Lou show, man, so we can have an archive.
Sure.
Well, go ahead whenever you're ready.
You ready?
Yes, sir.
This is Greedy Greg, and you're listening to the G Lou show. Again?
Thank you, sir. My man. Yes, sir.
Cool.
Thank you, Greg.
Have a blessed evening.
God bless you.
You too.
God bless you, brother.
Right. Peace and love.
All right.
God
my
bless
man.
You too.
Peace. All right. Hey, that was Greedy Greg, y'all. Legendary conversation. Once again, right here on the G Lou Show, Flashback Friday, Queen Jean assisted. And, man, shout out to Greg, man. Great guy, humble guy. So much history, you know. I don't even think he knows all the history he has and, you know, what he has to offer. But that's just Greg. He's just a humble guy, and he's going to do what he does. So thank you, Greg, for joining us. Again, thank you to our sponsors, BTP Media Group, Jeff Kwan, the legendary crew over there, 93.3 Tweed FM ISM, TweedCadillac.com as well. D.D. Harrison, the most prolific, I don't know even know the word to use, but she's an author and a publisher. Go follow her right now. Her books are available. She has special prices, deals. You know, she's damn near giving the books away. She just wants you to read them. So go follow D.D. Harrison right now, Instagram, IG, and all platforms. Her books are on Amazon as well. Saturday night, which will be tomorrow night, Conversations in the Hookah Lounge, all new episode, Queen G, D.D. Tell them what they got going on tomorrow, Queen.
Tomorrow night we have Shayna, the baker. She's an amazing baker. She makes customized cakes, cupcakes, cookies. She ship out. She delivers. It's just going to be an amazing show. She do DIY kits. So it's the day before Easter, so check in with
yeah.
us. She may have something
oh, yeah.
special
Easter.
Going on. Yeah, it's the day before Easter. So,
Easter Sunday.
You know,
it's Good Friday today.
Yes. Yes, it
yeah,
is Good Friday.
Good Friday.
And it's Marvin Gaye's birthday. So happy
yeah.
birthday to Marvin Gaye.
Yes,
yeah.
yes the legend.
Happy birthday
the legend.
To
we
everybody
love you, Marvin.
Else. Yeah, to everybody.
Happy birthday to Marvin
birthday
Gaye,
today.
The legend. We love you. And I know the day before that was the day he passed away. So it was just crazy. We had Nipsey the 31st. Who would know, you know, which – well, Marvin Gaye was years before Nip, but, you know, just those days. I remember when
legend.
When Marvin Gaye passed, they were talking about it on KGLH. Or it was all over all the radio stations, but I think it was KGLH we listened to. I was coming from my aunt's house,
mm-hmm.
you know, right over there where we was just speaking about, and they mentioned that Marvin Gaye just passed, and, you know, so 84, I remember. But, you know, shout out to Marvin Gaye. Happy birthday. Rest in peace to Nipsey Hussle. And all of our legends that are passed on, we love you, and we're going to keep this thing going. We're going to keep the marathon rolling and moving forward. Shout out to Queen G, my co-host who got my back, front and side, as Tweed would say. And we just going to continue to bring you great content, great interviews, and great conversations. Because it's the G Lou Show. It's Flashback Fridays, and we do this on Wednesdays, too, and Sundays. And Thursdays, we rock with Tweed Cadillac. So y'all just stay put, all right? We'll be right back. Queen G and G Lou. You know what I mean? We're going to take you on a quick interlude, and we'll come back and talk about it and give you a summary and wrap things up for tonight. All right? So we'll be right back.
Let's go to the flower kit and the slick. A lot of people already know exactly where it's at, cause it's the home of the dragons and the crack. Yeah, that's the name of my hometown. I'm going down in the town where my name is all around. The suckers just be having a fit, and that's a pity. But I ain't doing nothing but... I'm doubling up, improving the suckers that I can throw. I'm passing a natural 10 to 4, a 6 to 8 before I go. Yes, I'm definitely freestyling, all the while still profiling. Never treat the DJ Chris that steals this show. So, yeah, that's how I'm living. I do as I please, you see. A younger brother that's up for reality. Cause everybody knows you have to be something if you're born and raised in Compton. But then I found that it wasn't a place for me, cause way back in the day, somebody must have wanted me to quit because they broke in my house and stole my shit. They must have thought that I was gonna play the punk role just because my equipment got stole. But I ain't going out like no sucker-ass clown. They found they couldn't keep a dope nigga down. So hit some bass in your face, motherfucker, silly sucker-ass clucker. Now you duck it cause you can't stop a brother like the quit stuff, because I'm true to the game. You're lame and things
ain't gonna never be the same. Cause a nigga like the Crick is taking over. I really don't think I should have to explain it. Oh yeah, I'm a dog, but my name ain't Rover. And I'm the kind of nigga that's feeling no pain. Sometimes I have to wear the bulletproof vest, because I got the CPG sign written across my chest. A funky dope brother never ceases to impress. My name is DJ Crick, so you can fuck the rest. I'm coming like this, and I'm coming directly. Cause seconds get game, Raymond Jip, I'm doing damage quite effectively. Rhyming is a battle zone, and suckers have no win. Cause I'm a veteran from the C-O-M-B-C-O-N.
$100 bills crisp and that ass curvy. Cause ain't nothing on my mind but to be fly through time, having a nest egg. down in the States. That's fine, watching Jordan go for 40 in a sucker tub. Eating Cheetos, drinking Moe, getting a back scrub. Because first you get the power, then you get the money, then you get the pussy. Dude, don't be no dummy.
Man, it's your paper when the game is tight.
I wanna fight up and hit it, pass it like dang. Baby, all in my square, big Buddha, long hair. Fly Chinese and black for a Mac plus player. D, baby, I'ma get you hot, wanna get you full blown so we all can hit the spot. Got game by the tons, looking for some second to none, kinda fun. But these hookers on the run, for cover, they looking for lovers. Ain't no tricking young D, cause I'm unlike the others, not a buster. I'm on a mission for figures, time up for you diggers. Name. It gets them hotter, spin a straggler on a wheel. Now they call me D the Potter, lotta hating going on, but I ain't with it. I'm a mash on that drama every time that I feel it. Cause I'd rather have a major in than have sex. And when I have a million to splurge, you know what's next. But first you get the power, then you get the money, then you get the pussy. Ooh, don't be no dummy.
Have a Mardi Gras, 'cause I can rock. party, y'all. Tell me, can you feel it in?
Bring back in Queen Jean, because we got a few minutes left. I'm going to keep playing some music, but before we wrap it up, I'm going to bring Queen Jean to take us out of here. And again, thank our sponsors, BTP Media Group, 93.3 Tweet FMism, Didi Harrison, Conversation Hooky Lounge. Queen Jean.
I like that. Hey, that remix had me over here wanting to go to my bar and get me some Rennie.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a good remix of that DJ Quick, so many ways.
Yeah.
Hey, I ran across this quote, and I love this quote. It says, when you lose all sense of self, the bonds of a thousand chains will vanish. Lose yourself completely. Return to the root of the root of your own soul. So take that with you people throughout for the weekend, because
okay.
I'm definitely going to take it with me. So yeah, peace and love. Thank you for joining us. We hope to see you tomorrow at Conversations in the Super Lounge, West Coast 7:00 p.m. East Coast 10:00 p.m. And also, well, we're not having a show this Sunday because of Easter Sunday, are we?
Oh no, we're going to be on Sunday. We're rocking and rolling.
Okay, and also Sunday, our fabulous Lowrider Oldie show. You know, we'll just be doing it at chilling and...
Queen, what is all that? You got some stuff going on over there in the back. I don't know.
Maybe it's that so many ways.
Okay. No, it was some, like, I don't know, it was like, maybe you could probably, I don't know, I don't know what that is. I just hear some
stuff
you can't hear. Okay.
You hear it?
Just wanted to get you clear. Now I don't hear it. But it was kind of off and on. I hear it now.
Okay, that's what it is. It's the headphones. I tell you, man. I got so many headphones.
I thought that was Greg. I thought that was Greg the whole time. I said, Greg, that was... I don't know what was going on. But I was hearing it off and on. But it's all good. We got clarity. But you heard Queen Jean and G Lou. We're here for your service. Don't ever get nervous. And also... if you guys aren't doing anything later, check us out on YouTube. I'm going live. I got the incredible Javier. We're going to chop it up on the YouTube after hours. So love y'all, man. Greedy Greg, thank you, man. Incredible interview. We'll have this up on YouTube as well. If you missed anything, or go back to Blog Talk Radio. Check out the archives. But we love y'all. We'll see you tomorrow night, Conversation Hookah Lounge. And we'll be back on Sunday for OG Sundays as well. Peace and love. Queen Jean, love
you.
And we got this. Yay, yay.
Top to the bottom. Real homies don't forget about the ones who thought about them. Rags to riches, riches to rags. I apologize for hurting your feelings when we bag. Back in the day, we was young, taking everything with school. Ditching school, puffing beaties and drinking brew. Afraid of the bombism, but we tried it. Ain't no sense in denying it. I loved in the blinded, taking us back, damn near shed a tear. Reminiscing on the past time, year after year, but we grew up. Things have changed, you in the penitentiary and I be dwelling in the rap game. Started off at the same path, but I chose to go right. Looking for money and fame, cause I'm a rider for life. And all that slanging and banging and fucking rats in the past, I shook it to the left and I ain't looking for a past.
Things I used to do,
well,
I don't do no more.
This one goes out to my nigga. That's where me and the DPC was just clowning, doing what we had to do to get by. No money in my pocket, but I was still fly. Curl to my neck, but I got respect, and now I stack back, back to ride around in a Lexus. Oh my, bitch, how you changed? I feel you rubbing all on my dick, and it's feeling kinda strange. Cause then you wouldn't even walk me around the block. But now you're trying to tell me that toe-up cock. I wouldn't touch you with a 10-foot pump. I got to keep the pee in it, babe. Motherfuck you, hoe. But open up wide if you're giving up head, because closed mouths don't get fed. I'm talking to your punk-ass, trick-ass, nut-ass bitches. What's the name of your perfume? Bitches, hoes ain't shit. Ain't gon' be, ain't never will be. And I'ma make you feel bad that you fucked me. So fast forward tricks, this is strictly for my dogs. Ballin' like a motherfucker, racked up hogs and elbows. Keep rolling to this gangster shit. And when I feel like being bothered with you bitches, I'm giving ya my niggas play a ham, Mr. Shabby Blue and Big Jam. Sam's that genius, so I hit him on my mobile. And he's that finish, so you know I got the flow. Yo, what's up, nigga?
Yo, Snipe, old player, got some
truck. We ain't giving a fuck, we caravanning fast pace to 42nd place. Moved up blue and headed back to the strip. In the left hand turning lane, niggas never don't trip. Bust a right on Normandy. The bitches love for me, but I don't pay them no mind. Cause they come second to my home. Body bail, but I don't step in the mud. Walk up in the living room and it's smelling like blood. In the kitchen where it ain't no drinks for the gang of fools. Ah, let me pop the truck cause I bought a list.
like you just got your paycheck. Paid off a car, know the summer. Just jumped out the shower feeling fresh than a motherfucker with your good shoes on. You know what I'm talking about?
You mean like paid off a Cadillac car note?
Like a Cadillac, like you ready to throw a party, like call everybody you know. Don't even plan it, just do it.
In Compton, we call that spur of the moment.
Well, let's do it. Spur of the moment. What up?
Well, you can bring the drink, tell it I'm on my way. More, I say, on another hot, sunny California day. Just touched down, called up my 818 for a date with some other bus downs. And I cruise up the block, car lose up the top. I take the breeze, quick break the trees. Feel good as we flipping through the Rob Report. My baby mama ain't tripping on thousands of posts.
Well, my baby mama is, because she's having kids as a tool for getting chips. That's with or without the chips. She told my lawyer she's a nurse, but she can't spell school. Quite frankly, she's a motherfucking fool. Idiot. Welcome to the city where you might see things like real threats, fake breasts. Negativity hangs over the city like a puppet string pulling you up. You think they love you to the director of your cut. Now they're packing you with ice and zipping you up.